Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. And today, for those of you that are dealing with kids, maybe you've got friends that are saying, I'm going to pull my hair out. What am I going to do? My kids drive me nuts. Well, my guest, Dr. David Swanson today, he wrote a book that said, Help! My kid is driving me crazy. Or maybe we say, kids are driving me crazy. And he's got a number of suggestions. In fact, 17 different, well, what do I want to say, choices? Where you can, well, how do I want to say this? Kids can manipulate you a lot of ways. Well, we're going to give you some options where you maybe can do some manipulations of your own. How about that? Dr. David Swanson, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, it's a delight, and I'm going to ask you to speak up a little bit. I know you been in the process of making a major office move, and that's always very challenging. And
You're
living out of boxes. Gee whiz, that's always a whoopee time. Now, you're a licensed clinical psychologist. You're out of Encino, California, and you deal with families. And you've been for a long time. And when I saw the title of the book, Help! My kid's driving me crazy, I thought, gee whiz, is there a family that doesn't have kids that doesn't feel that way? I don't know of any of them. I mean, you know, the term PMS, I think, it just applies to so many things and could be disabled to so many different levels. But kids come in with that programming, I think, to drive you nuts.
Yeah, I think it's an intuitive thing. You know, it's funny because when I wrote this book, I got two groups of people. One grouping of people said, I've got to get my hands on that book. I can't, when does it come out? I mean, I could use that on my husband.
I got
the other group of people that said, you know, what do you mean they manipulate? Almost as if that meant, that title, manipulate, meant that they were lacking in moral character. And I've been doing this for 15 years. I've got three boys of my own. I have never met a child lacking in moral character. I mean, the kids do want to please. They really do want to be basically good people that are approved by the adults in their life. But it's very difficult for them to delay gratification in terms of getting what they want. I call it the I win mentality. I want it now. And so a lot of the 17 ways they go about getting what they want, or what I call the manipulation strategies or tools of power, have to do exactly with that. So they know you as a parent better than you know yourself. And a lot of these strategies say more about you as the parent than they do about your child.
Well,
so,
I think it's so fascinating because there's always been this adage between parents and their children, and their children then grow up and they start the first pregnancy, and the grandparents are sitting back, the new grandparents to be, and they're going, I can hardly wait. God's going to get you. I'm telling you, all the hell you put me through, you're going to get it back in spades. You know? And the truth is, every generation goes through this. And
yeah.
I don't care what costume you put it on, what you put on in the environment. You could take it, you know, 5,000 years from now, and maybe got this wonderful mental telepathy stuff, and we're still going to have the same kind of garbage to deal with. Because that's what kids are. They come in, they're in a new package, and they look at you, and they go, I wonder what it would like to put the cat's tail on fire. I've never seen it done. I wonder what it would be like to put mom's hair dye in the toilet. They can come up with things I maybe would never have dreamed in a million years. But when you see it, somebody had to think it up.
And you know, the core is always the same. It's pretty funny. You know, you're absolutely right. Kids are very curious. They're very impulsive. And they do have a hard time waiting. But the 17 manipulation strategies I write about actually say more about the parents than they do about the child. So, for example, there's a strategy that I call steamrolling, and this is when your child asks over and over and over again to get what it is that they want. And this is the one that kind of makes our hair gray as parents. I got a little gray already. But, you know, this is a parent who, after a while, finally says, well, fine, just go ahead and do it. Just leave me alone. Stop asking me, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get the parents who just don't want the struggle. So you get those children who use a lot of confrontation and protest. Or for the parent who has a difficult time tolerating upset or sadness on the part of the child, there's a child who will use emotional blackmail or playing the victim. So you start to see kids really becoming intuitive and very smart about knowing how to push those buttons on the part of their parents in order to get what it is that they want. So very normal behaviors, but definitely this book will show people very quickly. It's a quick reference manual where you can find very quickly the answers you need to put an end to these behaviors pretty quickly. So there is hope.
Yeah, I agree. Now, one of the things that you point out right in your book that I think is imperative, and some people may just go, that can't be true, and it's three words. Every child lies.
Yeah.
Every single child lies. And they'll say, not my child. Are you kidding me? Give me a break. I mean, I remember doing it.
Now, think about this. I mean, really lying, and I see this in my practice. I've been doing this for 15 years. And by the way, I always tell people I've got two master's degrees and a doctorate degree, but I got to say my own kids taught me about 60% of what I know.
Absolutely.
But every child, for the most part, will, you know, what I call in the book covert ops. This would be withholding information, deception, maybe lying. But it really is trying to get out of trouble or trying to get their, you know, get into a position where they can have what they want. This is, in my practice, what I tell people, on one part, when you first start to see it, kind of a healthy thing in the sense that they start to understand the way other people think and feel, and they start to create stories based on that empathy for the other person. Now, it's not a healthy behavior, and so obviously it's not one that you want to see continue over time, but when you first see it, it's not one that you should be alarmed about. It's a normal part of development, and it actually says that your child's starting to think outside of himself for a change. In other words, if mom doesn't like this, I'm not going to tell her because I don't want to get in trouble. So that's one thing that parents do need to appreciate. And it's something that you can, you know, hopefully work with your child and start to create a better sense of how to deal with these strong emotions that come from, you know, fear of getting in trouble or not getting what you want.
Well, I think also that's part of the process. Childhood is the process of learning how to live in the adult world. And I think when children are held accountable, and I really mean that sincerely, when they're held accountable and they are made aware of how their actions affect other people, it really is going to make them realize why things are so important. And you just, it's like teaching them how to be around animals. My daughter, I'll never forget as long as I live, she just loved animals, but she had to be taught that when she came across a cat, she didn't pull it up by its tail to check out all the equipment and let it hang in midair. It's like, well, what, you know, they're not feeling any pain. She's a child. She doesn't understand.
Yeah.
So you have to teach and you have to pay attention. And every parent is going to make mistakes. There is not a parent that isn't going to make errors. But I think when you're raising a child, it is a process of learning, and every child comes in with a different blueprint. You can have the first one that slept through the night. The second one is going to drive you nuts because they're a talker. Or like a friend of mine, she said, I gave birth to this son. I don't know what planet he came from, but he's up all night long. And when he was 24 years old, he was up all night long. And she said it drove her
true.
Nuts.
How do you explain that?
You can't.
How do you explain it? You've got three kids, you've raised them all the same, and yet they turn out differently.
Every
part of it is their role in the family, how they're wired. You're very, very true about that. One of the things I always tell parents is, you know, if you're going to make mistakes, and we all do, just like you said, we all do make mistakes, you got to have a set of priorities that you can live by. So that way, at least you know you did the best you could.
Mm-hmm.
And what I tell people in the book is you have three innate desires when it comes to your kids. One is to keep them safe. The second one is to look out for their better interest in the future. And the third is to ensure their situational happiness. And I always say you should always put safety first, better interest second, and that happiness last. And, you know, that's hard sometimes for parents to hear, but I got to tell you, you can go back to the story with your daughter and how, you know, she pulled the cat by the tail.
Yes.
We all have those stories. You know, my son, I remember when he was 1 year old, it was my first child. I was so excited to get him that ride-on car that kids get to drive on today. And, you know, I spent hours putting this thing together. And I put him in it. He played with the horn for a little bit. He was excited about that. But he spent the rest of the day playing in the box that it came from.
Right.
My kids are very much driven to find happiness. They'll go after that on their own. What you do have to worry about is making sure safety is first and their better interest is second. If they've got homework to do, make sure they do that before they go out and play. If they got to brush their teeth, make sure they do that before you read them a book at bedtime. Really kind of set those priorities straight. And regardless of whatever mistakes you make as a parent, you'll always know that you did your best and you could feel like a responsible parent.
Well, the world is a tough proposition. I don't care how many wizards and gadgets and whatevers we have around. Teaching a youngster how to be responsible, a young child, and getting past the manipulation games is really a challenge because most parents are working today. But again, it's not any different, believe it or not, from, let's say, 100 years ago when mom and dad were out in the fields and grandma and grandpa had to take care of them and had to teach them responsibilities and they had to learn things. Today's world, I think sometimes, and this is my bias, we try to keep them little too long because these kids today are really sharp. And what I have found, and maybe you would have a different perspective, what I've found is that kids really like hands-on. If you want children to learn about building a house, then you have to be out there, hand them a hammer and a nail and say, this is what you do. You have to oversee it. You have to have, like you said, the environment of safety. But then they just can't drop something. I'm tired of this now. Okay, but you've started a project. We are going to finish it. Now, this is what you're going to do. You cannot make this a perfect world for them because there's a lot of times in life they're going to be required to do things and nobody's going to be around to pat them on the mental popo and say, oh, you poor booby. They're going to throw them out the front door and say, grow up and get a life, kid, and then come back when you're ready to do something. So if you don't teach them when they're young, if you can't give them good, solid basics when they're young, how in the world are they going to be able to make it as adults? They won't be growing up, maybe, until they're 45 years old, and who wants that around?
Yeah, I think that comes a lot from, in my practice, I see a lot of guilt. You know, you raise a really good point in that there might be two parents working, so they don't get a lot of time with their kids, and sometimes relieving them from a situation that they don't like or getting them something that they want puts a smile on their face and makes us feel closer. You know, or it's very hard for us to see them struggle with something when they whine or they cry, and so we want to rescue them. But I think you're right. I think it's very important to kind of teach kids how to commit to something, how to follow through, and we just have to make sure that it's in their better interest before we kind of push. But so long as it is, we do that. You know, the other thing is, too, is kids have so much access today. It is amazing to me how they can turn on a computer and, you know, we hear about, we feel safe with things like NetNanny and all of the stuff that we get to, you know, protect the internet from our kids, and yet they can get around this stuff and they can, you know, get access to anything they want on the internet. They text, they email, they've got access to so many things, and so we don't even know if the messages we're giving them are getting through or if they're receiving messages from other mediums that we don't really want them to have. So it's very difficult to raise kids today in the world that they're faced with all the technology and us not being able to be around for them as much as maybe we'd like. So that's the one thing, like you say, time takes no prisoners, and it's the one thing that's the most valuable commodity to those kids. If we can spend that time with them, we can be very hands-on, we can invest in them, it's better for their self-esteem. I mean, it's just tough. It really is tough in this world today. But we do need to be there. You're absolutely right.
You brought a case out in your book, and oh, I have encountered youngsters like this. I had a mother that came to me for a counseling session, and the monster from hell was with her. And you talk about this. You use the boy's name as Sam, and this mother comes in, and she just did not want her child to blow up. He was obnoxious. He used all kinds of foul language about his mother, talking down to her as if, you know, it's just, I think I probably would have wanted to rattle his cage and turned him over my knee and paddled his fanny and washed his mouth out with a good, strong detergent. Seriously. I mean, this is something where and she let him get away with this. And so we've got to talk about this case because I know there are people that can say, I encountered a parent that did this, or someone may say, oh, I've got a nephew that's like this. What do they do? I mean, this is a this is a monster from hell when you have a kid like this.
You know, that in my book, I do talk a lot. These are real cases, and I didn't hold back with regards to kind of sharing the way things really play out in families. And so oftentimes you will get name-calling. But the one thing I want to point out is in most cases that I work with out here in L.A., you get the parents setting the bar. So if that parent yells, the child is more apt to yell. They typically don't cross the line. So if the parent cusses and squares at home, you're going to get more of that.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where, you know, if a parent even hits or throws things, you might even see some of that in the home. So it's very seldom that you'll see the child ever go past that bar. But when you do, then you're starting to suspect that you have a very passive parent who might be depressed or might not be available for that child. But it's very clear that these types of things can happen. They cause tension in the relationship. And if you look at all of the research that's out there that looks at attachment, this idea of feeling close to your child and your child feeling attuned to you starts at the point of discipline. They need to know that the limits and boundaries are in place. They need to know that the rules are fair and just, that they're not just kind of flying out because I'm angry. But they need to know that everything is set in place and predictable. Once that happens, they start to trust. And they can start to go through some of the motions. You avoid a lot of power struggles, and you really can start to work on bettering the relationship. But here's the deal. There are 17 ways kids manipulate, and there are only 17 ways they manipulate. This book, if you go through it, will tell you the countermeasure to each one. But in addition to that, when I got to the back of this book, I started thinking, well, gosh, you know, all of these things are countermeasures. In the moment, they'll be effective for you. But wouldn't it be great if you could kind of design a home structure based on your child, regardless of age, that would start to work to reduce the manipulation in the future? And so I came up with a model to figure out what your child's temperament is. So in the case that you're talking about, Sam was a very opposite, and by the way, obviously I changed the name, but Sam was a very opposition child. Yeah. So based on this model, you can come up with a home structure that you could put into your home, and you know, you can always kind of react to these using these countermeasures to diffuse the tools of power of these manipulation strategies. But by using the structure, you're going to get less of this kind of behavior that you see with Sam in the future. So it'd be very helpful for that as well.
Well, with the Sams in life, I'm telling you, you know, one of my favorite movies that I love, and it was with Spencer Tracy, and it's called Captain Courageous, and it's about a spoiled brat falling overboard off of a cruise ship, and he ends up on a fishing ship, and Spencer Tracy plays the old man that sort of takes him under his wing. And this young boy gets a real taste of reality. He has to work, and nobody's putting up with his nonsense, and he comes out to be quite a human being. And I thought, you know, this is something that every parent should see that has a spoiled brat. Of course, lots of times people don't think their kids are spoiled. But you have this, and in our society today, it seems to me that the conduct of a lot of adults is less than desirable. And we have so many things as examples. I was just watching things on television that were exemplifying family programming, and I noticed the attitude that were being promoted. And I thought, if adults are promoting these attitudes, and you mentioned this just a moment ago, how are you going to give a good example if what they are seeing, and you just mentioned this, is counterproductive to what you're doing? You really, you know, courtesy, truthfulness, integrity, all of these things have to be emphasized over and over again. And
it's your home. It is your home, and you control what comes into your home. You control whether or not there's computer access. You control whether or not certain programs are watched on television. And today, you could even password lock the television.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing replaces the time that you spend with your child. So if you really invest in that time and you have a good line of communication, that is imperative, by the way, having that communication. Do you sit down for dinner at night and discuss things? I mean, if you're there, you have a strong, healthy bond, this is the type of core that you're going to develop in your child. If you don't take the time, if you come home, flick on the TV, and just relax and let your child kind of do whatever they do, you don't have dinners together, and you kind of let your child fend for themselves, well, they are going to be watching you know, I don't know, TMZ, and they're going to see the actress who goes out without underwear, and you're going to see the celebrity who gets in a fist fight, and that's the type of stuff that they will start to see. And by the way, everybody at school, when the kids start to get older, you know, the message here is, you know, by the way, you got to know that the biggest crisis for teenagers would be the social isolation or rejection, but acceptance becomes the biggest, you know, thing that they kind of work for when they're teenagers. And a lot of time what this involves is pushing the envelope. How far can I take it?
Right.
And so kind of promoting those type of behaviors on TV and things like that, teens do adapt to them, and they'll start to show them, unless you've spent your time and you've invested and you've developed a strong core in that child where they know that their sense of value is strong enough that they don't need to do those things to impress their friends. So that's very important that we spend that time and we do invest in our children so that they don't fall prey to those messages.
I think also, and you bring out so many different components, and one of them is the confrontational aspect, and you've just mentioned how they always want to push the envelope. And I remember one young man that I heard on a show, not, you know, it was a while back, but there was a discussion about kids growing up and how important discipline was, and he said he was the monster from hell. He really was. He said, I was absolutely incorrigible. My dad would say green. I'd say, nah, I'm going with maroon with purple edging. And he said, my dad, it's amazing. He said that he didn't kill me in the process because he said I was horrible.
By the way, I put that in my book, too.
He said he was just horrible. And he looks back on it.
He'll be writing a book one day.
Yeah, probably. And he just said, this was awful. He said, I look back on what I put my dad through. But my dad, he said, always held me accountable. And he said, I hated it. I got in trouble once, and he made me go back and correct the situation, acknowledge what I had done publicly to the people I had affected. And he said, that just drove me crazy. Because he said, I had this image that I was going to be super whatever. But he said, here I am, I'm an adult, and I've got my own child. But he said, I just realized that this is what you have to do. And he said, I was horrid. I was absolutely horrid. But I really appreciate the fact now that I'm an adult that my dad did have boundaries. And I know that, you know, we have always these extreme situations where the parents are really in, psychologically, they never should have had children. But the reality is that most parents sincerely care. And most parents really want their kids to be upstanding citizens. They really want them to be the best they can possibly be. And I think that your book gives them a lot of tools to work with. And I think that what we need to do, too, is, as parents, is to have more faith in ourselves and to also have some kind of a support system that enables us to talk to other people. Yeah.
Our kids really do want the same thing as well. They want to grow up to be good human beings, and they want to grow up to have a strong moral compass and be well-liked and approved by others. You know, but I think you have to show them the avenue, and if you're consistent with regards to holding them accountable like you're talking about and showing them the appropriate way to do things, not always saying don't do this, but show them how to do it, I think you'll live up to that expectation. You'll see a lot of that happening at home as well.
Well, what is the worst-case scenario you have ever experienced besides Sam? I mean, that kid, that brought back memories of this one encounter I had with a client and her son. Oh, boy, did it ever.
Yeah.
But
I've acquired somewhat of a reputation out here for working with kids and families, and so what you'll find sometimes is you'll get these referrals for these really, you know, really sad kind of cases. I remember, you know, getting a referral for a kid who, you talk about not wanting to be accountable. He was a 16-year-old who was arrested outside of a local college with drugs, a scale, and a gun in his car. And this kid was a brilliant, brilliant child, but he really had no sense of home, a sense of self. I mean, he was a kid who was truly lost, and you start to see how scary this could actually get. When he came in the next session, he told me that he was arrested by a female officer. He was so angry at this female officer. And by the way, what would you expect him to say? When I'm angry, I want to beat her up or something, you know, kind of immature like that. He says, again, 16 years old, he says, I'm going to find out who her creditors are. I'm going to buy her debt, and I'm going to ruin her life. I mean, this was like a sociopathic kind of case. And so those cases do come up from time to time. And by the way, when they do, it really comes about because you have a family situation where nobody really took the time to care and invest. Mm-hmm. If you're a parent and you think your child's oppositional, I don't care how oppositional they are. Maybe they're cussing and swearing at you. Maybe they're not following directions. It is not hopeless. It is hopeless when you don't care enough to invest the time. When you invest the time, you love your children. They pick up on that. They know that. And they'll love you for the mistakes you make, so long as you make them for their better interest and they know it. But that's the thing. If you don't do that, you start seeing these really bizarre cases coming to you. And it's really sad because in this case, I thought it was too late in this case. I mean, what do you do for somebody who's lost like that? You know, what mm-hmm. I ended up doing is getting them into a support group with male offenders, which I was hoping that he'd kind of see the error of his ways and kind of, you know, wake up out of that. But, that was very sad. But it comes about from not investing the love and attention our children deserve. That's where that comes from. That and the wiring, like you mentioned earlier.
There's such a difference with every child, but I know that the parents listening today and any parent really often they feel like they haven't, you know, there isn't a manual that comes with babies. It just isn't there. And sometimes maybe your background has been very limited, but it's a do-it-yourself trip along the way. And if you're fortunate, you'll ask people that maybe you respect and appreciate that have done a good job of parenting and ask them what you'd have to learn. But really, every child has their own personality, their own persona, and you cover quite a few different positions. Help! My kid is driving me crazy! Well, David Swanson's got a book for you. David, what's your website?
It's drdavidswanson.com.
Now, is that D-R or is doctor spelled out?
Yeah.
It's D-R.
R. Yeah.
Okay. David Swanson, S-W-A-N-S-O-N.
Yeah. .com. And by the way, if they want to sign up for a free online quarterly newsletter, and this is myself and a number of other professionals that have input on a lot of different things that affect children and families, they can go to thehealthychild.info, and that's a free quarterly online newsletter that goes out. So it's thehealthychild.info.
Thehealthychild.info. Well, wherever you are, whatever child maybe is in your life or whatever, I think when we can educate ourselves and become aware of the fact that as adults, number one, we have a responsibility of being a good example. And number two, when you have a youngster, trust me, they're going to do everything they possibly can do because they are here to explore and experiment and see how far they can go to get away with anything and everything that their little minds come up with. So it's an adventure. It can be a lot of fun. It can also be a lot of headaches, and you may find yourself taking some aspirin along the way at different times. But Dr. David Swanson has some good suggestions in Help, My Kid is Driving Me Crazy. Go to his website, drdavidswanson.com, and D-R, and David Swanson, S-W-A-N-S. O-N. Dr. Swanson, it's been a pleasure having you as a guest today.
A lot of fun. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And keep up the good work, and I hope you don't have a lot of Sam's. I guess I'm a little old-fashioned. I think liquid soap can go a long way for those dirty little mouths. This is Donna Seba. We're taking your break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Again, Dr. Swanson, thank you so much. This is Donna. We'll
Thanks,
come
Donna.
Right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Seba. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
The Northwest Women's Show, presented by Assurant Health, is a show that's all about you, your body, your spirit, your life. 400 exhibits, free samples, and best of all, shopping with fabulous Women's Show specials. Meet Amy Roloff from Little People Big World and cosmetic cop Paula Begon. Bring your questions to Hollywood celebrity stylist and creator of Wynn Hair Care Products, Chaz Dean. Make it a point to attend our free seminars and be inspired by topics that can change your life, like channeling your inner strength, weight loss strategies, and women's self-defense. Plus fun and trendy fashion shows from JCPenney. And backed by popular demand, Seattle's hottest firefighters. Favorite authors Ann Rule and J.A. Jantz. The Women's Show, presented by Assurant Health. March 5th through 7th at Quest Field Event Center. Sponsored by Bartell Drugs, American Family Insurance, Puget Sound Energy, Snoqualmie Casino, The Seattle Times, and King 5. For show information, go to nwwomenshow.com. The Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Ebo, telephone lines are now open, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, quick like a bunny, I want to remind you, if you've got a story about the paranormal, something unique that has really affected your life in a special way, I'd love to have your story. I'd love to hear about it. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, International.com. Or you can type one out and then send it to me via snail mail to the Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington. Now, if you haven't heard this request before and you're saying, what is this for, Donna? Well, I'm putting together a book. I'm collecting 100 true life stories that people have gone through, whether it is a dream that came true, whether it has something to do with an out-of-body experience, or like someone was relating to me just a couple of days ago, how they were in another country and they experienced a spirit that was just as real as you and I, and was walking down the road that they were on. They were in a community in England. This person, they could describe their dress to the T, and this person walked by, didn't pay any attention. They turned around and said, boy, that's an odd outfit. Turned around and looked, and the person was gone. They were out in an area of country. There's no place that person could have gone. Somehow or another, they entered into a time warp where this energy appeared. So things like this, I want to know about them. We are putting this book together for the purpose of being able to share with people the fact that experiences happen and you don't need to be afraid. So again, if you would like to send me your story, I'd love to hear from you. And again, send it to the Donna Sebo Show if you want to write it out. P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. And you're hearing the ad for the Pacific Northwest Women's Show. Yes, I am going to be there. I'll be in booth number 407. This is in Seattle, Washington, and oh, I just absolutely love participating in this. And by the way, if you're in the Seattle area and you would like to help me out, volunteer at my booth on Saturday the 6th, give me a call at my office because I'd love to have you join me. I'm looking for some volunteers in the booth, and my number is 800-872-8852. But on Friday, March 5th, I am going to be hosting 6 powerful women speakers, and we're going to be on the Girl Talk stage from 1 o'clock in the afternoon until 4, and we will be in the first hour talking about money and security, and the second hour, we're going to be talking about energy healing, and then the third hour, we're going to be talking about animals. And all of these women are specialists and experts in their own area, and it is just going to be a joy to be able to present this at the Women's Show. So check out the Northwest Women's Show. That's nwwomensshow.com. You'll find out about the scheduling, all of the personalities, all of that is available for you to research. And don't forget, I'm in booth 407. We're going to have a fabulous drawing. You're going to have to come by the booth to find out what it is. And, of course, I'm going to be doing many consultations there as well. So give me a buzz if you would like to be a volunteer at my office, 800-872-8852. And Alaskans, I'm going to be up in the far north during the month of April. And as we get closer, I will let you know what those dates are. Also, the information will be in my newsletter. So I wanted to let you know that about that as well. Okay, call me if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756 is our telephone number here. It's a worldwide toll-free number, and you can talk to me about just about anything that you like. If you have a dream you'd like interpreted, I'd be delighted to help you. Or if you'd just like for me to give you some intuitive insight, again, give me a call, 888-815-9756. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Kay Meridian. Her book is called Gift in the Sunlight. This is a book that she wrote to honor her mother, her life's experience. And it is so poignant because it is dealing with a time in history that I think needs to be remembered. I think it's important to realize that as individuals, we have an impact on everything that goes on in our lives and many times with people that we come in contact with. But sometimes life brings us situations that in a million years we never ask for. So it's what we do with them that makes a difference. And her story, her mother's story, is a quite an exceptional one. So we'll be talking with her tomorrow. Then on Thursday, we're going to be talking about the birth and death of the cool. We're going to drift back to the 1960s. Ted Geoga is the gentleman who is going to be with me. We're going to be talking about that period of time where the term cool was really cool. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about the full plate diet. It is a program, common sense, it's really down to earth. The book is absolutely wonderful, and Dr. Teresa Sherrard is going to be my guest. So we have a nice lineup of people, and we've got a power pack lineup for next week, and I'll be telling you about that later on. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Well, I have just recently acquired what is called a netbook. I needed to find something that wasn't going to cause me to have neck muscle spasms from lugging it around. For a long time, we had what was called a laptop. We still have it, but it really is meant to be on a desktop. If you try to travel with something that weighs about 13 or 14 pounds, it's a lot of weight to haul around, especially in today's busy world. And when you're at an airport and having to take that out of your suitcase and open it up so that they can put it through the machine and all this other kind of nonsense, it's just absolutely too much weight. So I acquired one that's about 2.5 pounds. It is delightful. It's not anything at all to carry compared to what I used to have to carry. But when you're traveling with laptops that are like that, you might be in a coffee place or someplace. What if you get something wet with a laptop? Nightmare of nightmares. I know working in a studio, the last thing you ever wanted to have was any kind of liquid around your electronic equipment. Well, that hasn't changed any. However, I found out about some tips. If you should get your laptop wet, first thing you do, turn it off. Turn it off. And you immediately take out your battery and put it in a bag of rice or someplace where it's warm and dry. And you want to leave your laptop open. And if you have a hairdryer and you want to use that to sort of dry things off, don't put it real close to the laptop, but let the warm air, you know, cause the moisture to evaporate away. That's great. But you need to wait 3 to 5 days and then put your battery back in and turn on the laptop. If it doesn't work, then check your warranty and insurance policies. You've got homeowner's policy or a renter's policy. And then you can also go to a website for more information called metafilter.com, MetaFilter.com for other ideas. Oh, what a nightmare. We always have to remember when we've got electronic equipment, it does not like wet. That is not a happy situation at all. So just be all the wiser for it. It really will make a difference. Donna Sebo here. If you'd like to chat with me, give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I want to share something with you because in today's world, I'm finding it fascinating how people do not seem to want to talk to one another. They're using Twitter. They're using all kinds of abbreviated forms of communication. And when you're in sales, you're going to find that the one-on-one, it's always going to be best to be able to talk to people. And when you're dealing with contracts or anything else, you want to be able to have that one-on-one. Today, I received a call from a company that had done a particular job for me, and I was thrilled with their work. Well, it's very seldom anymore that you will get companies that will have someone personally call you. They often will send you an email or they'll drop something in the mail to you. But this was a company that called me personally. And the gentleman that I talked with was very friendly, very pleasant. He wanted to know if I had any comments, complaints. He was so personable. And I had one request. He said, we'll get that off to you. We'll make sure that that is given to you as soon as possible. And he noted all of my comments and everything else. And as a company, that gives them something to work with. If they find out that something's not been up to par, then great. They will do what they can to bring it into positioning. This is a company that's been in business for over 70 years. And I didn't even know they existed before 2009. And I've lived in this area for a number of years. It's very important to realize how significant it is to have the personal touch. And I'm going to share a story with you when we come back about Victor Kiam. Does that name sound familiar? Well, I'll tell you who he is if you have not heard of it before, because this guy used his technique to make a success. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a little bit. 888-815-9756. Don't go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. I said I wanted to share some information with you about a man. His name is Victor Kiam. Now, Victor Kiam has been known by many people in the corporate world as one of the most successful salespeople ever. And he started off at a rather young age because sales came so comfortably and easily to him that he really wanted to be out there and be about. You know, not everybody's meant to sit behind a desk, and that's not what he wanted to do. He liked being one-on-one with people. Well, when he started out, he was working for Playtex. He was selling girdles and bras in Mississippi. And one day he arrived in at a small shop, and there was the owner, and the owner was sweeping the floor, and he introduced himself and that he was a representative for Playtex and extended his hand, and all he got was silence. The owner of the store just looked at him like he was a demon, and you know, Victor just decided he was going to go ahead and do his spiel, opened his sample case, began to talk, and the store owner lost it. He got furious. He became so mad, and he started sweeping Victor out of his store. And the next thing Victor Kiam knew is that he was flat on his back outside the store with all kinds of dusty dirt swirling all around him, and he went, "You know what? I don't think something was right here." He couldn't figure out. He hadn't done anything wrong. What in the world was going on? Well, he figured something had happened to this man, and it was something associated with the company he was working for. So he went back to the office and talked with some of the other sales reps and eventually found out what had happened. The man who had the position that Victor had been hired for really was an unethical person. He had sold so well to this store owner that this man had made a huge investment in merchandise, and all of his capital was tied up. The salesperson had done his job so well, but he didn't do some other things that he was supposed to do, and this man was very upset with the company. So anyway, Victor said, "How can I help this man out?" Now, this is an unusual positioning for a salesperson. His thought was, this is a customer. How do we help this customer so that he can be in a better situation? Well, what he did, he knew of some of the bigger accounts that really could use this inventory because they had a larger sales base. So Victor Kiam went into the owner of this store, personally talked with him and said, "Look, I understand that this is what has happened to you because of my predecessor. I want you to know I want to maintain a relationship with you. I have someone that will buy inventory that you have here so that you don't have to keep it. They can use it. Is this acceptable to you? I'd like for us to have a good working relationship." Store owner was thrilled. Every time Victor showed up at that store, he always then afterwards, instead of being swept out of it into the dirt, he instead was welcomed. Victor was a problem solver, and he said, "I want to make sure that the people that I am working with and for are going to feel like they matter." And that was the principle that he based his customer service on. It was important to him that he have what he considered a personal relationship. And rather than losing a customer, he maintained a customer. And this small store owner continued to work with him until he left that company to start his own. So many times we need to remember that. And it's not always easy when we get really busy. But I can remember a situation that I got in many years ago. Oh, I was so embarrassed. I honestly didn't know what to do. And I didn't have anybody to talk about it, so I sort of just kept quiet and I thought, well, things will resolve. Well, they did resolve. But if I had had the initiative and or maybe figured some way out, and I didn't at the time, and that was my own ignorance. But now I can reflect on it and realize that there is a way of working with people and situations that you can handle things so that you don't end up creating chaos or feeling like you're defeated. You don't need to feel that way at all. It is not necessary. It is not required. The personal touch is always meaningful. But you know what? You have to talk to people. You have to be out there. They need to hear your voice. Things happen in life. Situations occur. And the key is open your mouth and communicate. It is all right. Sometimes that is all that it takes. And when you do that, it makes all the difference in the world. And I don't care how sophisticated we get with computers. The human voice and that caring tone can make all the difference in the world. So I just wanted to share his story with you because I thought that it was a good one to share. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Now, I wanted to share one story with you because I know we've just got a few minutes, but this is about computers. Now, we've all watched sci-fi films where computers are thinking creatures, and my goodness, that's been written about for so long, and we're seeing actually robots being developed that are developing a thinking process. Well, in 1981, there was, in February of that year, at the Kawasaki plant in Aikiski, Japan, a maintenance worker, Kenji Urata. He was the first human being to die at the hands of a robot. Pretty dramatic statement. Instead of opening the robot's safety gate, which was supposed to cut off its power, Kenji jumped over the barrier fence and accidentally hit the juice button, and the gear-cutting machine grabbed hold of him and literally beat him to death with its mechanized arm. Now, since that time, apparently 10 other Japanese workers have been pulverized or dismembered to death by machines. And 4% of people working in American factories have had major robotic accidents, including being bashed in the head by intelligent tool arms. And two unfortunate workers were hung in the air by their feet and sent along the conveyor belt to be turned into cars. Now, in 1981, an office robot in London destroyed a new typewriter and then chased a secretary around her desk before pinning her to a wall. That would have been a very unpleasant experience. And in 1989, Soviet chess grandmaster Nikolai Gutkov had just finished checkmating his computer challenger for the third time in a row when he was fatally electrocuted by the metal board they were playing on. And in Moscow, reporters were told this was no accident. It was cold-blooded murder. In other words, they felt that the computer had done it deliberately. They said computers are not just lashing out at their betters, but they're also committing suicide. A computer-controlled arm at the University of Florida Center for Intelligent Machines grabbed its own support stand and ripped itself apart. Intelligence, makes you wonder, doesn't it? This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Free will is something we all have the opportunity to exercise, and you need to remember that your right of choice is a gift that's given to you in this life experience, but we do have to think about that choice. What is it we really want? And so educating yourself, reading, listening, being aware, being attentive, it does make a difference. I look forward to being with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Donna Sebo here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.